We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thank you for joining the ESPC Sports Betting Podcast, which I always say the purpose of the podcast is to make me money, to make it clear that we're about authenticity and transparency. Why? To make money. Now, every single business meeting, funny, because I heard somebody else say it, and I'm like, man, they stole that from me. Every single business meeting has to have a purpose and an outcome, right? Every single podcast we do is a business meeting. So the purpose we made clear. There's actually other purposes, but the outcome has been last 2 years, right? 65% NFL, 1,000% ROI. What does 1,000% ROI mean? It means you have 10 times more money than when you started a podcast, than when you started. And yes, I have 10 times more money in my bankroll since I started a podcast. That's what's in my brain. So that's number one, right? We do, since we have a mental health crisis in this country, we give you a mental health first aid kit. We also give you a financial kit, okay? So those are the outcomes and the purposes of the podcast, right? To make it clear. Also, it really tells you who the hell we are and why the heck should you listen to us. I have an MBA. All those books you see behind there, I've read them all. I just don't have them out there on the bookcase. And I have wealthy, high-roller clients for my financial services. Now, 90% of business consultants have no idea what it is they're talking about. So I have a business concierge firm. And in that firm for the last really 20 years, I really learned this and practiced it, that if you are the smartest, toughest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. That's why I asked, and he has accepted, Chan Nolan to help us out on the podcast. And he says that his favorite one, and the one that he makes him the most money, is the Hawthorne Effect podcast. It has a few levels to it. Thank you, Chad.
Yep, happy to be here.
So I call this the Rene Descartes kind of podcast, because you examine mistakes that you make. First, you have to admit to the mistake, right? Most people don't. So sports betting is a competition. You're competing against the bookmaker, the casino. You're competing against other bettors, right? And you're competing against yourself. So it's a competition. Everybody has to compete. You're in America, everybody's a business, you have to compete. Chad and I enjoy competition. Probably we enjoy competition because we won most of our competitions throughout our lives. But when you make a mistake, when you have success, you have to, number one, admit to the mistake, right? So it's change. 95% of people cannot change. But in order to go through that process, you have to admit you made a mistake in order to change. Here, we use what we call the Hawthorne Effect. You have a link to it, to the origins of it, the glossary definition of it. Hawthorne Effect says that if you examine something, if you track and measure something, you improve its performance by 10 to 20%. Literally now I feel that one of the main reasons we've had 22 weeks in a row of profit is on the successful weeks, still doing the Hawthorne Effect and noticing the flaws in your thinking. Back there, you can read Decision Science. That's used by the Fortune 10 companies as a methodology, right, to make decisions. Now, if you looked at the hearings today with Facebook, they're getting in trouble for not using decision science. One of our friends here, Urban Meyer, right? What is his Hawthorne effect on this blonde on his lap? And, you know, as the way people are, you can't trust people. Maybe Urban Meyer is a little too trusting. His restaurant, I own a restaurant. And people say, what do you miss about restaurants, right? And the answer is hot blonde sitting on your lap. One of the things I miss about owning a restaurant. He has to do a Hawthorne effect, right? You see, Urban Meyer is the epitome of father knows best. When you are a male, right? When you are a male, you're supposed to know everything. You're supposed to have all the right answers. And when you make a mistake, it is humiliating, right? You're embarrassed. You feel bad. You have to confront your feelings. So if being a tough guy, I always thought as the goon, right? The enforcer in hockey. As I get older, I noticed that to really be a mentally strong guy, tough guy, you have to confront these horrible feelings you have. It's not easy. It's easy to say, hard to do. And I had a business case. One of the cases I made the most money, and it was two independently wealthy guys in their 50s, and they were acting like 12-year-olds. And the one that we got $1 million settlement on, we made a lot of money, was because he really couldn't confront his feelings. He couldn't do the hard work of confronting. Yeah, as much as I have an MBA and money and all this and that, the way we were able to close that deal and get paid the $1 million check was this guy preferred to pay $1 million than to confront his feelings. So as we compete against other bettors, the fact that we can confront our feelings, right? And we can admit to our mistakes makes us not only build our percentage. Remember, the percentage is important because 52.5% is break even, right? And we want to get to 65, 70, 80%. Last 2 weeks on the podcast, we've been at 65%. So really we want to start averaging about 80%. Would be great. I don't like to ever be over 80%, 90%, because that means from a mental health standpoint, your life is out of balance, right? So from a business standpoint, there's nothing wrong with Urban Meyer is doing, right? He's out of balance. He's in the office watching film, but he needs to do a Hawthorne. So what's a Hawthorne effect for Urban Meyer, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to reevaluate, you know, the people in his small circle, the people he thought, you know, weren't going to take a picture like this. Yeah, I mean, maybe just reevaluate, you know, having a college grill on his lap and in his restaurant. I mean, he's a married man. It's not the best look, you know, for him.
No, I've been married for 18 years. My wife's a psychotherapist. When I met my wife, you know, I had a lot of girlfriends, not because I was really a good shape and good looking guy. This was because I was doing well financially. What do you think Anna would say if she got a picture like this?
You know, she would just want to make sure that all your spending was on the BitPay card and was betting money, you know, and, as long as it was betting money, she'd probably be all right with you. As long as this picture was all that happened, as long as it was a picture and it was, all you used was betting dollars, you'd probably be all right. You live another day.
100%. But you admitted that in your past, when you were balling as a bar owner, you lost maybe a really good relationship, a good girl, because something like this. Not 100%. You're young. You can do whatever you want. You have to make mistakes. You just have to admit to them. You know, and I guess you suffer a consequence because of those mistakes.
I think it's just what you spoke about earlier to the financial success. You know, it's like, you know, you get girls two ways. You know, good looks, having, you know, being in good shape, and then, you know, that financial success. So, you know, being a college athlete my whole life, I kind of always had, you know, decent looks and was in good shape. But that added another element that I just, as a young man, was not mature enough to handle. And
right. Who is? I wasn't. I was 100%. Not even close to being mature to handle.
Yeah, but I wish the as people on YouTube that are watching, they can see Josh's dapper outfit he's got on. But if you're on the podcast, you're not able to see it. But I think if you dress super nice, you increase your business performance by 5%. Wear a nice little button up and tie, and that's why the Mormons and the Jehovah's, they get more people to answer the door. That's why they put on the shirt and tie.
Believe me, nobody answers the door unless I'm wearing it like a tie. And when you're handling people's money, right? They say that when you handle people's money, you should have a tie on.
Yep.
Right. And people judge you on the way you look. You know, back to Meyer. He's judging her on the way she looks, but you know, it's a trust factor. Because I know a lot of girls, a lot of women in my life that will carry secrets, right, until their dying day. She goes on her Snapchat and says, Urban Meyer, and she put the video from her friend. It almost seems like it was a setup because her friend shows the video of Urban Meyer, you know, putting his fingers in her ass.
Right. Urban Meyer.
He reminded me of
the video from her friend.
All right. Chad reminded me to put this live on YouTube. So we'll close with this episode, but it is a Hawthorne effect because you have, like Rene Descartes says, a life left unexamined is not worth living. So two things, Chad, before we go to our mistakes that we have to feel bad about, is two things. Number one, consequences, right? Jameis Winston, who now has a limited play sheet, right? We talked about impulse control. He faced no consequences for raping that girl. Jameis Winston faced no, that's one girl he raped that we know about. He might have raped other women who are afraid to come out, right? Because nobody's going to believe in the whole Bill Cosby thing. Bill Cosby raped 200 women and he's out of jail. So women are in a tough spot. Number two, you know, Urban Meyer now is facing consequences. But Jameis Winston didn't face consequences. So what about athletes who aren't facing consequences? Deshaun Watson, he's facing some consequences, right? Or not. Because the thing is, in this true story, right? Life is always stranger than fiction. When I went to the Journalism Institute, they said one of the reasons you do journalism or interested in journalism is that the truth is stranger than fiction. So I am working out with this Greek Mafia mobster from Tarpon Springs. I was in Florida. Remember, Tarpon Springs Mafia is a mafia that Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, kicks up to. And I said this, I said, you have to torture yourself before somebody else tortures you, right? So even if this picture didn't come out, even if she didn't go on Snapchat and said that Urban Meyer put his fingers up her ass, right? He needed to do the Hawthorne effect on himself. He needed to do self-scouting, not to make this mistake in public. Same thing, same beef we have with Garoppolo. And it's not a beef, right? We are measuring them because we're putting our hard-earned money on these games. And even though we've made huge profit, you got to see why he doesn't read the blitz. He goes to the amygdala brain and impulsively throws an interception. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. That's how we judge his performance. We get a clue because a lot of football players, a lot of Urban Meyers, frequent prostitutes. but none of them get caught. Garoppolo got caught because he's a little out of control. What are your thoughts, Chad?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. They, you know, that Hawthorne effect isn't just a valid thing in sports betting. It's, you know, Josh says he uses it with all business owners, and it's something that they, you know, they struggle to do. But as a business owner, as a man, in certain situations and certain actions and choices you made in sports betting, basically anything you're making a decision science, whether it's a business decision, a personal decision, a lifestyle decision, a betting decision, the Hawthorne effect applies, and it can be used to, you know, increase your performance and that decision making, regardless of what that decision is.
Right. And one of, and it goes back to the introduction, one of the thing you get on this podcast, you don't get anything or anywhere else, right? It's us admitting to the bad picks we made. Also, we care how you feel after the first games, because we want you to feel good. Because every single pick we're giving you, we're also betting ourselves. So if we're feeling good after the first games, you're feeling good after the first game. And ask yourself, who's making you money and who really even cares, gives a crap about your feelings? I felt bad. This is my first Hawthorne effect, Chad. I felt bad that I should have picked the over on the Redskins-Falcons game.
Yep, that's one for me too.
Right. There was no way that game's going under.
Yeah.
Again, if you live in the past, you die in the past. And it's, what have you done for me lately? What we've done for you lately, right, is go 21-11 on the picks, right? And the money line on that Urban Meyer game. We knew he wasn't going to win. We knew Burrow was going to win, but we had Jacksonville covering, right? And we had the end of 46. Redskins game, we should have had the over 48. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, I think, like, or, you know, me and Scott and Jim all in the preseason, we were really high on the Redskins.
Right.
We thought, you know, they were going to be an elite defense, and we, you know, they're our NFC East favorite. I just think that defense isn't panning out like we had anticipated.
Right.
Which is not, you know, they're not the under team that we anticipated earlier in the year. So we're living in the past there with how we were thinking.
In the way the past. Ron Rivera's one. Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio both been defensive coordinators on Super Bowl teams. When they ran teams, Carolina and Jacksonville, with Del Rio was in Jacksonville, all great defensive teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And, just that secondary, we've seen the Redskins give up big plays, like, you know, even to the Giants. You know, we've seen them, you know, they've been giving up those big plays. So, I mean, I think with the passing attack that Atlanta had, that game was going to be higher scoring, and I mean, the number wasn't extremely high.
No,
it was only at
48, and the average NFL game is 45 points.
Yeah, so yeah, Redskins, I had 47.5. I bought it down a half point.
Nice.
I bought it up.
Good thinking. Now that was good thinking.
So. But yeah, that was one we should have got. I was even thinking it during our show. That was kind of one I was gonna maybe chime in and go the other way. But I just kind of, you know, sometimes it's it's sometimes when you got two of your peers going one way on something and you're thinking something else. Sometimes it's easy to maybe have a bias because, you know, you're the youngest guy in the room and these guys have been doing it longer than you, and, you know, they see that. So I think it's something that, you know, it's just like you, when it comes to our thinking, this sports betting is independent. Like, you know, you should never get upset with me and Josh because we have bad picks that day. I don't take every pick Josh has. Josh doesn't take every pick. Now, we might agree on 80-85% of our picks, but, you know, certain picks are unique, and the numbers we're getting. You know, Josh might have bet something earlier in the week and he's got 2 points better than me or something like that. You know, like, you know, when he posted on Twitter, it might be slightly different than, you know, what we talk about on the podcast. So. This is a unique thing to your card and your, you know, your evaluation.
Exactly. No, 100%. Saying I wanted to know what smoothie I want tonight.
Yep. All right, I'm going to go on my next.
So, yeah, no. You teach a man give a man a fish, give him that, you know, that's it. Because, you know, this is an educational podcast. Mm-hmm. We're teaching you how to compete, right? Compete in the sports betting world and not get taken advantage of. You give a man a fish, which is a pick we're giving you. We do both, but it's more important to teach the man how to fish. We're teaching you how to make sports betting picks, right?
Yep.
Decision science.
Boom. So one, I did go the other way on Josh was that Buccaneers-Patriots game. I did switch my pick on the podcast. I went with the over, but I did switch myself to the under with the weather and just reevaluating my thinking.
Right.
So I did get that under right. I did correct that, but I stuck with the Buccaneers -6.5. And man, with just Belichick and the familiarity, and I just think how the NFL wanted that game to go. I think they were looking for a close
right.
game.
Right.
It sells more tickets. It sells the NFL better. A close, you know, one possession close game. I think all those factors and then the 6.5 points. I should have been with Josh there with the Patriots. It was going to be a close game. It was going to come down to the wire. You know, even with us being on the under, we knew, you know, it was going to be low, you know, lower scoring, not going to be a shootout by any means. So that was one I wish I could have had back. And then on the other end of the spectrum, one I think we got right, but we were very unlucky, was the Lions Bears over 41.5.
Right.
The Lions were inside the 10-yard line, I think, two or three times and came away with 0 points. I think we only missed that by a touchdown or a field goal. It was very close to going over. We could have got one field goal or two field goals out of those two inside the 10-yard lines. That game goes over very easily. That was one I think we did get right, and it fell on that 20% luck factor in probability theory.
Right.
And then we missed the Lions on that one, but I don't know. They were coming back at the end down +3. I think there right. was a chance for them to get that backdoor cover. I don't think
– right, because you have to differentiate between picks you got wrong because of faulty thinking, right? You identify the situation. You use math. You eliminate variables and covariables. And then you use logic rigorously to the bitter end to come up with a decision. Did you do that process right? Or was it a 20% luck factor thing? They call it in probability theory, the surgeon performed a perfect surgery, but the patient died. You have to, doing the Hawthorne effect, figure that out. And he's saying, yeah, we got the Lions pick right, but we probably should have got it wrong. And the other side of it is we probably got the Lions +4 right if they would have executed in the red zone. Right? Is that right, Chad?
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
So, again, I'm living in the past. So that's that game. I'm living in the past with the Florida second half Lions. I guess coaches have made that adjustment. They're hydrating better in the second half. And the Colts were able to do well there. And then I overestimated Jacoby Brissett and the Miami Dolphins. I had him on the money line against the Colts. Brissett was garbage, turned the ball over. And Frank Reich, which I know is a great coach, he's the reason the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, knows how to do more with less, right? And that's a perfect – the perfect example, outcoached Flores. I should have known that. I've been predicting and making money on Frank, right? Outcoaching people for years. But I got carried away with my recency bias. And we're going to put in there, in the episode notes of the podcast, a link, right? A link to the statistical definition of recency bias and how it applies to sports betting. All right. So I had recency bias the way Miami on the road played against the Raiders. And I thought they were going to have some momentum and beat a injured Indianapolis Colts team. Did you get that game right, Chad?
No, I did not. I was on the Saints and I was on the under. I was 0-2 in that game.
Oh, yeah. That was the Saints against the Giants.
Yeah, under 42.
The Miami Colts game, you got it all right? Or
Oh, you're talking about the Miami Colts. Oh, so in that game, I did not play a total. That was the one I didn't play. And right. I ended up playing Miami just on the second half line. I didn't play anything that game pregame.
All right.
I ended up taking Miami minus a half on the second half line.
And that, and that in a way, wasn't truly a bad bet because Brissett had pick six, like the first play of the second half.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't do that. Miami covers that because Miami did start coming. They did win the fourth quarter pretty good. They scored like a lot in the fourth quarter. Actually, I think all the points they got was in the fourth quarter against a tired, depleted Colts team. Saints, again, I know Jameis Winston, right? He 95% of people can't change. And I'll ask you this, you know, measure of the man, when you're poor middle class, you have to make business decisions without having all the information. And you have to, we had a really good discussion independently wealthy John Hansen out of Ohio, that when you're poor middle class, right, you're not a part of a conglomerate, like 70% of business is psychological. You have to be able to read people. Chad, reading Jameis Winston, you know that 95% of people cannot change. Sexual deviants, right, like him. Josh, why are you calling him a sexual deviant? Well, number one, he raped that girl in college. Now, let's say you don't believe that story. He admitted to fondling the Uber driver 5 years later, right? So my wife is a psychotherapist, says people who have sexual deviancy problems, like Jimmy Garofalo, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, also have impulse control issues, right? That's why they say, oh, impulse control with gambling. No. Somebody who has impulse control with gambling, that's not the only problem they have. They're probably a sexual deviant and they abuse coke, drugs. They like ecstasy all the time, just not just randomly one time with Urban Meyer's blonde. So in your opinion, 95% of people can't change. What do you see in Jameis Winston? Has he changed? Does Sean Payton trust him? He doesn't trust him with a lot of the playbook. We haven't seen a lot of it. Hopefully he'll do it in conference games, but he didn't do it against the Giants, right? Did not do it against the Giants, and the Saints did not cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down here hamstring problems. Major people for the Saints have hamstring problems, and that's a, you know, better than not. Is that a workout problem, or is it that they didn't really we're at home because of the hurricane in Katrina? So what are your thoughts on the Saints and Jameis Winston, Chad?
Saints do have a few key injuries there. I just think, I don't know, we're just overvaluing.
Right.
You know, the Saints at home and Jameis. And, you know, the Giants, John Ross back, they got playmakers on offense. You know, they have
potential. Yeah, your man John Ross, every time he made a big play, I was like, man, Chad told me about this, working out with him.
Yeah.
I think it was right last year, spring, man. Yeah. Early summer, you were telling me about John Ross, how fast he was.
Yeah, he was moving, man. So, the Saints are not who we thought they were.
Right.
Even with Sean Payton and that corporate governance, they're just an inconsistent team, man. We've seen them play really well. I just don't think they're going to be consistent at all this year.
But it's going to be a totally different team in division games.
Yeah.
And the Giants. Jameis Winston at 10, good in practice. You'll see him in division games.
Yeah. And the Giants losing that heartbreaker the week before, I think, you know, was some motivation. Did the Giants end up winning that game outright?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they late in overtime, because I was thinking that too. The Giants are, again, that family member who is maybe in recovery, who asked you for $20. And you're like, listen, I'm going to give you the $20 because I'm never going to see that again. Thanksgiving dinner, the family's all there ready to eat. and they're bringing in ham. You watch them come in, and it's from honey-baked hams. They're bringing in the ham because the original ham was burnt. And they're telling you this whole story about why they're late to Thanksgiving dinner, right? So you can't trust them. So I thought this game was going to end up in a tie, right? Because the Giants can't win anything. But Chad's guy, and I'm like, I should have known that too, right? Chad told me 100 times, John Ross. I used to say, Chad would call and I'd say, hey, Chad, how's it going? He was like, John Ross. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's so the only guy known. That's
dusty. Yeah, you run a 4.3 too. So he's motoring. He must have ran a 4.2 to beat your 4.3, right?
Yeah.
Or your 4.4. He was running a 4.3 to beat your 4.4. Yeah. So,
yep.
I should have known that Hawthorne effect. Another game I should have known. I didn't follow my own rule. The worst is, and I've said it with clients, business concierge, I don't have kids. But if I did have kids, I would say that. A client or somebody says, I know. And I'm like, but you didn't do it. But I know to do it. No, you don't, right?
Yeah,
because to know is to do.
Yeah, to so know.
If you didn't do it.
Yeah, I like to know and not to do is to not know at all.
100%. So I'm not following my own advice. Number two rule of betting: do your research. I had to do more research on the Eagles and the Chiefs, right? So now it's common knowledge. I did say this on the podcast, right? So it probably in the back of my head. Howie Roseman, right? Howie Roseman is a divorced guy, long-term, long-time employee of the Eagles. He was started during the Andy Reid days, backstabbed, got Andy Reid fired because Andy Reid is a control freak. Wants to be the head coach and a general manager, like Belichick. Can't argue with him because he won a Super Bowl. He backstabs Andy Reid, gets, you know, like, Josh, why do you care about this? It's sports betting, Hawthorne effect. It's because you use business and financial concepts, right? Decision science, probability theory, in order to come up with a decision that makes consistent profit. Use fundamental analysis, which has gotten people rich. Technical analysis hasn't. So that's what we care about, the management of Philadelphia Eagles. So Howie Roseman hires Chip Kelly. He doesn't sleep, sleeps in the offices. He backstabs Kelly, and now he's in control. Wins a Super Bowl with Peterson. Fires Peterson. Hires this new analytics people. But he's really in control of everything, Howie Roseman. So Howie Roseman is completing a trade for, you guessed it, sexual deviant Deshaun Watson. Fine, get him. We know how to bet Deshaun Watson and make money off his game, off influence control issues. So you're a player, Chad. How does the fact that they're bringing in Deshaun Watson to replace the current quarterback, how does that make the current quarterback feel?
This is in Philadelphia?
They're getting rid of Jalen Philadelphia. Hurts? Yeah. So I should have done more research, figured out that was going on, because that makes the current quarterback and the other players, because this is football. You need to go all out or figure out what you're doing, right? Because this is your body, right? You don't want to get hurt or run through a wall for a lost cause.
Yep.
So, not Justin Fields. He's the same type of guy, right? African-American, blue blood school, who runs around a lot, throws a lot. It's Hurts. Jalen Hurts. Same type of name. Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, African-American, runs around. Deshaun Watson kind of fits that bill, too. But you make 3 first downs with your legs, you win 70% of the game. So I needed to research that. I needed to put more value on the Chiefs coming back from a loss. How many times has Andy Reid come back from a loss and cover the spread.
It was a return to the mean game all day for the Chiefs with all those turnovers. I should have known that. Yep. That's the same thing.
I got a PhD in return to the mean.
Yeah. That was when I was kicking myself on that. Like, how they literally had four turnovers. They lost a division game to the Chargers. You knew they were 1-2. They had to win. This was a must win. Throw it all out there.
Right.
And also, too, we should have been on the over as well with based off all of this.
Right.
Because they were going to score points. Their defense isn't like crazy elite. You know, Philadelphia, you know, was going to put a few up there. Especially if the Chiefs are playing with a big lead, they might give up a few easy little somethings that don't matter. A late touchdown to get to the over.
Right.
And I think I overestimated the Eagles personally. They covered a few games for me early in the year.
Right.
So I had some recency bias there that I didn't account for.
Shame. You know,
last week at the Cowboys, they were terrible. That offense just didn't look good. With that whole Deshaun Watson thing, I wasn't aware of that, but it makes sense after the offensive performance last week. And yeah, I mean, we should have been on the Chiefs in that over for sure. Right. We missed that one.
Right. No, 100%. 100%. So
that's about it. I got one more game. One more bet, basically. That's all I really got.
Right. Yeah, hold up. Because it sounds messed up. All right. What was the other game you talked about?
So my last one was the Browns and Vikings over 51.5. I should have been all over that under. This is similar to the Chiefs, and it was return to the mean. Both these offenses, I mean, the Browns had a big performance last week. The Vikings, I mean, they had a shootout with the Cardinals 2 weeks ago. You know, they were pretty good offensively, started off very quick against the Seahawks last week. So both of those teams were kind of – they're more under teams, you know, the way that the Zimmer and the Vikings are defensive-minded, the way that the Browns, you know, are going to pound the rock, play action, ball security, the style – you know, that was a return to the mean for both those offenses and just the style and that those two teams build. I mean, it was an under game the whole way. That game was never going to get close to the over. 51.5 is a pretty big number. You know, it's a touchdown over the average score of an NFL game. So that was one I really got to check myself on because that game was an under all the way. And I totally missed it.
Right. Again, me living in the past on the Carolina-Dallas game under 51. McCarthy even does an offensive guy. He's run the ball with a big offensive guy, line guy. But and both teams play zone. And Matt Rhule's a defensive guru, right? So I felt that game was going to go under or wrong. It went over. Because it's modern football, there's an extra game. The game went over, right? So I was living in the past. So I have to check my thinking. I said, do my research tonight, tomorrow, and then for our big podcast. Now, we're fortunate, lucky, and good. I did not get another game wrong. I went 10-0 after that point until... last night, I did get the under 53, but I thought the Raiders were going to cover those 4 points. I was one play away from that. So I'll let Chad give me feedback on that because you do need feedback. You ever talk to somebody who has been single for 40 years, right? Cat lady or whatever. There's nobody to check their thinking, the crazy crap that goes on in their heads. There's nobody to say, hey, man, that's nuts. I get elbowed, and I mean, Anna and I disagree about 50% of the time. Good thing she's a psychotherapist, too, because she gives me really good advice. I learn from feedback from her clients. I don't say anything, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I think that too sometimes. All right, cool, that's not good, right? So, Chad, what do you think?
Was a bad pick
because of bad luck or was it bad thinking?
Man, I think it's that one's pretty in the middle. I think there could be some thinking checks, and I think there's some luck factors. you know, the Chargers, I mean, what's their head coach's name? I mean, I forget. I don't even know.
Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
He's only been a coordinator for a year.
Yeah.
Be a coaching mismatch against Gruden.
But yeah, it wasn't. You know, he's dialed up right now in his game plans and his schemes.
Yeah.
Smart guy. Offensively and defensively, the Chargers look good. I think I need to start, you know, giving them the credit where it's due from beating the Chiefs and beating the Chargers or beating the Raiders. You know, the Raiders had like 10 yards of total offense in the first half. They're the number one offense in the league. So, I mean, you have a complete outlier luck performance there. Like, that's never going to happen again the rest of the year where they only have 10 yards of offense in the first half. Credit to the Chargers. I mean, the defense was playing lights out. I mean, Gruden was so vanilla. I mean, three times, they just ran the ball three times and went three and out. It was like, you know, throw the freaking ball, man. Like, you know, the Chargers are going to score. They're going to throw the ball. You're not going to compete running the ball three times going three and out. So I think just that first half offensively and those two late – I mean, it was 7-0 with like 5 minutes left in that second quarter. You know, it was
right under
all the way. It was looking good. Chargers scored late, two touchdowns late to go up 21-0, you know, which really changed the game. But even then, the Raiders got it back 21-14, you know, with a chance to cover that game at the end.
Right.
The pick wasn't terrible. The Raiders had a chance to cover even with that disgusting first half performance.
Right.
You know, if that game goes to half 14-7, 7-7, the Raiders are covering that game easily. So I think there was some luck issues there, but also too, I think we overvalued Gruden and undervalued the Chargers head coach. So,
well, one thing, right? And looking at Meyer, right, reminded me of my single days. And one maximum in my single days is, if you hesitate, you masturbate, right? And losers kick field goals, winners score touchdowns.
Yep.
Winners get invited into the house. Losers get a peck on the cheek and they go home and, you know, masturbate. Now, Josh, what does it have to do with sports betting? What does it have to do with the Chargers? The Chargers had the most offensive yards between the 20s and did nothing in the red zone. When I saw them practice in Costa Mesa, their offensive line is not good. But you can do things to kind of mitigate your offensive line. In back of my head, in an outlier, you got to trust your instincts. You can't hesitate. I felt that they left the really good red zone plays. They did well in practice. It's not what you see in training camp. It's not really what's going on because other teams are there. What they did in mini camp, what they're doing behind closed doors in the first practice of the day. Those really good red zone plays, they saved it for division games. And the statistics plan it out. They got nothing in the red zone outside the division. And suddenly the world beaters in the divisions with the red zone plays. So I should have acted upon it. I should have. And really complicated things in finance and things that are two more. Life is complicated. It's chaotic, uncertain. And life is not fair. Right? So, yes, you have to have impulse control. B, you have to not hesitate and act on your instincts and don't second guess yourself sometimes. Especially when you have an MBA like me, I work hard, I did my research. Why am I hesitating? Why am I questioning myself? Right? Ask that hot girl out. What's the worst you can say? It's no. Don't hesitate. If you hesitate, you got zero chance. What are your thoughts? We'll call that final thoughts, Shaq.
Final thoughts. There's one more thing to add in that game. I think you know, the head coach for the Chargers, man, he went for three times on fourth down, got all three. Two of them passing. One time they hurried up. Great play design. Got the defense. Had a great alignment with the tight end. Quick ran the RPO. Boom, got it to the tight end. You know, I think those three, the willingness to go for it on fourth down and the 3-for-3 conversion rate and the play call, I mean, they're not playing scared. I mean, that shows that, like, dude, we're here to win. You know, you don't go for it on fourth down. You don't kick the field goal. you know what I'm saying? You don't punt or kick the field goal. You know, you're going for it on fourth down. That shows just, I think, the demeanor and where they're, you know, what the coach, you know, where he believes in his team and what he thinks of his team, which tells me that, like, he thinks they're a legit contender to win this, you know, and they're not going to shy away and they're not scared. And I love that mentality that head coach brings. I mean, those fourth down conversions as a player, as a defense man, those are just debilitating, man. Like, when you got it, you make that third down stop, you know, you think you're off the field, man. You're like, oh man, we did it. Let's go punt. And then they get that shit on you. And
fourth down.
Yep, you're celebrating with your guys. Yeah,
right. Where do I line up?
They're in the hurry up and they convert, you know, and it's all for naught. You know, those three great third down stops the Raiders had were just, they were obsolete plays because they just got converted the next play. And it's, you know, that's my final thoughts on that game and, you know, how it went down.
All right. So I like this because really during this podcast and during this process, right, it's great way to illustrate and really just show you now today how to make money in sports betting. And this is such a crucial element in that. It's really feeling, right? Yeah, we have a great feeling that we made a lot of money, but to keep it consistent, you gotta torture yourself. Like I told the Greek mobster in the gym. And it's funny because the Greek mobster used it with his fake Salesforce that he just used for money laundering. He's like, yeah, Josh, I told my sales team what you said. You got to torture yourself so somebody else doesn't torture you. Right? So that's what we're doing. Instead of having a bad feeling after the first games, we have a good feeling because we've humiliated ourselves, tortured ourselves here. But salesmen think short term, business women think long term. We feel bad in the short term, but long term, our bankroll busts up. So final thoughts, man, before we give him Winston Churchill.
I'm good, man. Let's wrap it up. Quote of the day.
All right. Business decision is not philanthropy, philanthropy, or moral or religious decision. It's a business decision. The more you give, the more you get back. That's why Winston Churchill said, to get us through World War II, you make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESPC Podcast Network.
That's why this one goes to us $800, and that goes to us. And I don't know what that cost. I'm just shitting the work. That's why.